So tonight on the LFC Day Trippers, I'm joined by Welsh wind-up wizard Dave Thomas and everyone's favourite tripper, Andy Young. We'll talk about an entertaining but ultimately frustrating draw at White Hart Lane, the remainder of the transfer window, as well as a look over Robbie Keane's international career as he draws the curtain on the international stage with a final game against Oman after 145 games and an incredible 67 goals for the Republic of Ireland. We'll round it out with a little chat about the transfer window instead of the usual Trippers chats. It's the Day Trippers. Okay, so lads, I suppose first up we'll have a chat about the Spurs game at the weekend. 1-1 draw. I suppose disappointing, yet if we thought about it, you'd probably take a 1-1 draw at White Hart Lane. But you kind of feel we've probably come away from that leaving something behind. Dave, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I said before the game I thought it'd be a really tough game. And it was, in a way. You know, I think that during the game, I felt like I was worried that if we didn't score before halftime that they'd come out, because I think we weathered the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes that they had, and they came out of the blocks really fast. Then we get the goal, probably should score second, you know, and you think if Mane's goal goes in, I think that's a different game. We probably end up running out 3-0 winners. And then to concede, it just felt like it deflated everything because Coutinho had just gone off, Origi came on, like I think it was 4 minutes later, three minutes later, we score.
Very, very soon, yeah.
And it just felt like the energy got sapped out of us as a result of that, which was really disappointing. So yeah, I mean, disappointed, you know, because I thought we were the better side. But in isolation, you know, any away draw in the Premier League is not a bad result, as particularly Tottenham, who were, what were they, third last season. They didn't look great. So no. I think it'll probably be something we look at the end of the season and say it was 2 points dropped because we were better than them. But lots of positives to take away from it, though. Really, lots of positives.
Okay. Andy, overall thought? We'll dig in a little bit deeper in a few minutes, but overall thoughts?
I suppose like the disappointing part is that we spanked them the last six or seven times and we've done damage to them in White Hart Lane, like, you know, quite regularly last few years. And then to have the kind of chances and opportunities to do that again and really sort of fuck them off again, it just feels a bit disappointing. But when you step back and just looking at it rationally, it's a draw away from home and it's not bad.
Yeah, we take a win at the Emirates and a draw at White Hart Lane every single year. Yeah. You know, for the rest of the time.
It's the Burnley result that just spoils it. Like a win at the Emirates, a win against Burnley and a draw against Spurs.
We're 2 points off the top.
We're all dead happy. But when you look around the league and you see Man United that they've won 3 games now and Chelsea have won 3 games.
It feels like
you're losing ground that you might need.
Yeah. I think it's the, you know, and that's what happens when you drop points that you shouldn't drop, you put yourself under pressure to go and get results that are maybe, you know, all upside for you. You know, whereas if we'd won the first 2 games, we'd all go into the Spurs game going, it doesn't really
matter. We'll take a draw here.
We take a draw, or a narrow defeat wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean? So, but I think the Burnley, and then to get the draw after we played so well. It feels like we deserve more than 4 points out of what we've done so far.
I suppose they're our peers, aren't they? You know, if we're looking at it logically this season, them and Arsenal are our peers. It's probably them two and us fighting it out for fourth. Now, maybe that won't be the case. Maybe, as is often the case, you know, a team looks great at the start of the season and then drops off. And that could happen to City, Chelsea or United, but it's unlikely.
Well, they've all got the new manager bounce, right? So, like, you know, Mourinho, Guardiola, they were all, you know, and plus the fixtures have been relatively kind to all of them. So, of course, you can't draw any conclusions. But, I mean, City in particular look very, very strong.
Yeah.
You know, I think they'll win the league.
The situation there is that it's not just the manager bounce. There's three squads filled with quality as well.
I mean, they look immense.
Yeah. It's not, and as well, it's just when you look at I've seen most of their games as well, and it's just how good they look as a unit.
Yeah.
Are far better than we look as a unit, really. Yeah. You know, there's so many sort of weaknesses in our team that you'd have to assume we're going to finish behind them three teams.
Yeah.
But, like, you would have to hope that we can
finish
ahead.
Which is kind of funny because sort of all, well, I did anyway, and I know a few others did, had the opinion that, well, Klopp's got 8 months on the others. So, you know, he'll have his team with pre-season behind him.
Yeah.
He'll have his team looking exactly the way he wants them to. The other managers have only had a few weeks, especially Conte, who came in after the Euros.
Yeah.
You're saying, oh, he'll only have had a few weeks. But actually, the three of them...
Yeah. But both of them, you know, if you look at Chelsea and City, both of them won the league in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah,
they still have the players.
They got title winners in the side.
Plus, ask any of those three teams to go away to the Emirates and away to White Hart Lane in their first three games.
Yeah.
And maybe their results are different and we're looking at ourselves in a better light.
And Man United City is going to be interesting next week.
Yeah.
You know, that will tell us a bit more than the previous game so far.
Hmm. Yeah, and I think Mourinho... You know, just take a wider look at the league a little bit. You know, Mourinho's just, that's a typical Man United. They're a bit cocky now, right? He's brought that back, to be fair to him.
The swagger, and,
But he hasn't had the challenge yet, right? And that, for me, that team and that squad is light, the United squad. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they lose to City. You know, what happens to Mourinho? Do some of his bad characteristics begin to come back if he goes through a bad spell? You know, both Mourinho, Guardiola has never had the wheels come off the way Mourinho did
at Chelsea
and, you know, Real Madrid arguably. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. That's going to be interesting. So for me, City looked the best. But United just have that cunt factor back,
you know what I mean.
But
you know what, they were probably 90 seconds away from a draw with Hull,
exactly,
and we're talking about them differently.
It's all fine margins. I mean, you know, as I said, in the Liverpool game, that Mane goal gets given,
or Coutinho scores his goal in the first
Coutinho
half.
Scores or Milner puts the corner in 1 second earlier, we get a penalty for the foul on Matip. You know, before you know it, it's all fine margins. And I don't think Spurs can say that. I don't think Spurs can look back at that game and go, well, if this had gone our way, or if that had gone that way, we would have won the game.
They're crying about a penalty that wasn't given to them. But, you know, for me, I suppose we were, even the goal they scored, we were at fault ourselves. So in saying that, let's segue into talking about each of the players that started the game. So we'll start off with Mignolet, because he has taken a roasting. You know, it was five shots on target, five goals against us up until the Spurs game. But to be fair to him, he made some good saves in that match.
Yeah, I thought he had a good game.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting out of the match, I think, is, you know, where Mignolet really looks, he was fine. He did nothing wrong. But where you know the difference between the type of keeper I think Klopp wants and the type of keeper Mignolet is when you compare him to Vorm. And how good Vorm is with his feet, how proactive he is, how he basically is a defender.
Yeah, I made the comment during the match that he had a better challenge in him than any of our centre halves. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was spectacular.
Yeah, twice was very impressive against Mane.
Yeah.
Whereas Mignolet tends to stick on his line.
Yeah.
Now he made some very good saves.
Yeah, so he's a great, you know, he was back to making some good, stopping some good shots.
Look, he's the best backup goalkeeper in the league.
Yeah, he is.
Well, maybe not, apart from form.
But, yeah.
You know, he's like, so he's solid. It was a proper 7-8 out of 10 performance. It wasn't spectacular.
Even the goal itself, he did the right thing. He came out, he closed the angle. You know, in a sense, I think, I genuinely believe Danny Rose just hit that.
I think he mishit it as well. Yeah, like, I think he scuffed it.
It's off the edge of his boot and into the left-hand corner. But he's just taking a swing at that.
Yeah, you see a lot of people who want to just batter Mig all the time, saying he was beaten on his near post.
Yeah, fuck off.
But like, come on. Like, he's a player is one-on-one with the goalkeeper and he's just put his foot through it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be expected to save every chance that goes into your near post.
No. If you don't score there, it's a bad miss, like Coutinho.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my thoughts on it.
Yeah, in a sense, but for a left back, I suppose you're giving him the grace. You're saying if he misses there, he's a left full.
Yeah.
You know, Coutinho should be scoring it. A centre forward should be scoring.
Should be scoring.
For me, Miggs, he comes out, he makes himself big, he spreads himself. Okay, the fella sticks it to the side of him. It is what it is. Yeah.
The ball close to your body, is very little you can do. You can only make yourself big enough. And I fancied him to save it the way he came out.
Yeah.
He didn't like come out too early. He came out.
He did the right thing in my mind.
And he got down and look, the fella scored. Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I can give Mig shit all the time if he's dropping balls and he's doing things and he's not saving shots he should. But let's not go on about it when he's not making big mistakes.
Yeah. It's the goals on Sunday mentality. Do you ever watch Goals on Sunday?
Yeah, I don't anymore.
So basically, let's look at the goals means let's look at who we can blame for the goals.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes goals get scored. And for some reason, we've gone into this thing now where wherever we can see the goal, we've got to go and find the person that caused it.
Well, let's look at it. Like, the reason we like football is because there is variables, there is the human factor.
Yeah.
It's not always a massive catastrophic mistake. It's a player who's...
If anything, the goal probably comes from James Milner making a mistake. And you know, if Moreno does
that... I think Moreno, if he does that, he's getting slapped.
That's what I was just about to say.
All I've read on Twitter is Milner had a great game at left full.
Well, he had a solid game up until the point where he gets caught in two minds there, now, leaves Eric Dyer.
Yeah, you're talking about Moreno, or not you personally, but if you're talking about a player opposition like Moreno in the Arsenal goal where he flies forward when he's actually trying to get involved in the counter-attack and people are saying he's out of position. That's not out of position per se. Being out of position is when a player gets in behind you and he's so far away.
If you're 30 yards away from left full, you're not out of position. You've just gone into a new position.
If you leave that player onside in so much space to knock a ball over the top that you can't get under it and head it away, or you can't going to get around and stand in front of him.
Yeah.
Well, then you're fucking out of position. Like, there's absolutely no argument to suggest that he wasn't out of position there. But you give him the little bit of benefit though because he's not a left full and he's being expected by Klopp to play there as the first choice left full.
But any goal,
a mistake, and that's where it's stemmed from.
But any goal you concede is a mix of good things that the attacking team has done, and which has either caused you to do bad things or you've done bad things.
Yeah,
right?
you can say Lallana doesn't track.
Or Mane, I think it's Mane. Yeah.
Is it Mane that doesn't track Lamela's run?
It's Lallana.
It's Lallana that doesn't track.
And Mane doesn't track.
So Klein has to come in, you know, and then Lallana and Klein go up for the same ball. And as it turns out, Lamela does quite well to get a touch on it.
Yeah.
And it leaves Danny Rose in space. So listen, we have to stop overanalyzing absolutely everything. It's a decent goal by Spurs. If we score that goal, we don't sit here for 10 minutes and look at what Spurs did wrong. We just say...
We'd be talking about Klein's cross.
Yeah, and you know what? It's an absolutely smashing ball. I think it is from Lamela to Eric Dyer.
Yeah.
Is it that starts it off? Yeah. And then he gets his arse... Like, he plays that...
Dyer plays the ball across.
Yeah, I think Lamela plays the ball
back on.
Yeah, but Lamela plays that ball to Dyer.
Yeah,
and then gets his arse into the box and gets onto it to Danny Rose. Yeah. So, you know, okay, so sorry, we're kind of getting away. So we're agreeing that Miggs had a decent game. He was unfortunate with the goal, and that's that. So we've spoken about Milner. I think Milner was solid, wasn't he? You know, he had a solid game.
If a player is playing out position as he is, that's a good game.
Yeah. Against a good side.
Yeah, good side that come down and attack you.
Absolutely. We saw Matip and Lovren at centre-half. And I have to say, personally, I really liked the two of them as a partnership.
Mm.
The only thing I saw Lovren, in my mind, think, oh, for Christ's sake, was when he got shrugged off the ball by Harry Kane in the first half. Mm. I saw people come out and say that he had an absolute shocker.
When he fell over. Yeah. That negates anything else he did, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do not know the rules of Twitter, right? Yeah. If Dejan Lovren falls over, anything else he does is irrelevant. Yeah. He gets a 0 out of 10. Yeah. That's it.
It's back to Lovren when he's out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
So he's a great defender when he's in between his 18 and he's just dealing with stuff, as you do, throughout the game. But when he's kind of caught isolated like that with an attacker, and he starts to get a little bit nervous, that's when we see bad Lovren. That's when we see Lovren when he gets pulled out wide. That's when bad Lovren happens.
Bad Lovren.
Yeah. But leaving that aside, he had a decent game. He got man of the match.
I didn't think he deserved man of the match.
Well, he probably...
But what he is...
Because nobody really stood out as such. But I think like one of the defenders, him or Matthew, probably, you know, were worthy.
But what I like about both of them, and we have been lambasting Skrtel for years about this, right, is he is proactive.
Yes.
Right, so he tries. How many times did he win the ball that was getting played into Kane by stepping in front of him?
Yeah.
Right, so every now and again, that, and I'm going to say this now, every now and again, that is going to make him and Matip look stupid.
Yes,
right, because they're going to miss.
Yes,
but I think they have been instructed to be proactive and try to win the ball.
Yeah,
and both of them tried to do it every single time. Mm. Press high, you know, keep the line high.
He got 15 yards out of defense. He was nearly up with his center mids pressing his center forward.
Yeah.
And followed him, and somebody else.
And if you, like me and us, have spent the last 3 years complaining about Skrtel, then you've got to give these guys credit for saying, actually, we're moving the defensive line forward. The fact that we didn't have a proper defensive midfield player probably made their job a little harder as well. So I actually thought both centre-halves did really well.
Yeah, no, I was very happy with them. And we as a fan base probably have to accept we're not going to be a team that concedes 15 to 20 goals a season. It's just not going to be what we do.
No.
You know, it's not going to be quite Kevin Keegan level.
He doesn't play that type of game.
No, he doesn't want to play that type of game.
You know, he says that himself. He wants you to leave the game going, I can't wait for the next game. Yeah. Mm. Well, that is not 1-0 to the Arsenal. You know, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
You can't have everything.
And as somebody tweeted there today, people, you know, were calling for Klopp and now Klopp is here and they want to change Klopp.
Well, you said it yourself a couple of weeks ago on Twitter. You said, Andy, people like that have asked for Klopp to come in, and then when there's something that they don't like about him, then they expect Klopp to do what they want rather than what he wants. You know, he's a world-class manager.
And I don't know, I didn't follow his career. I just watched Dortmund on occasions, and they were brilliant and they were great to watch. But I wasn't watching what was happening there in his first two seasons with players going and players coming. But it's the same stuff. Apparently, this all went on at Dortmund to lots of players leaving, thinned out the squad, like lots of players coming in. So why do we expect that he's had 6 months in the job and all of a sudden that he's going to have this big, solid unit that's not going to concede goals and going to score lots
of goals? There's so many parallels with Benitez here, right? Benitez arrived as a double league winning manager, right?
Yeah.
Also won a European trophy. Okay, Klopp got to a final. And do you remember in his first few seasons how criticised Benitez got for doing things that people thought were the wrong things to do? Mm-hmm. So, for example, Dirkhout.
Yeah.
Dirkhout on the right wing, right? Steven Gerrard on the right wing.
Yeah.
How many times do people say, oh, you've got to play Steven Gerrard in his natural... Two defensive midfield players at home. People were complaining that Alonso was a defensive... But he wasn't. Was a defensive midfield player. Zonal marking. Squad rotation. You know, Andy Gray, every game, used to say, oh, 65 minutes, there's Benitez's first sub, as if it was a bad thing that Benitez had planned this in ahead. So what we're finding is that we want the success that a top pedigree manager brings, but we're impatient and we're not willing to just have an element of faith then, not blind faith, because he's won the league twice.
Well, but I was accused of blind faith for my comments in that we did there with.
But blind faith is something for which there is no evidence.
I think I can't remember verbatim, but I basically just said, if you wanted Klopp, let him do the job. Know what I mean? Just sit back and fucking let him do the job.
A lot of people
blind faith is something for which there is no evidence. There is substantial evidence that Jurgen Klopp is a fucking great football manager.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, I said this, it's a 6-year deal he's just signed.
Yeah.
To him, it's not the be-all and end-all for him to win the league this season.
No.
It's just not. It is for us. Well, it's not for me, but it is for some fans because they think we should be winning the league every single year.
A big achievement for him this year is to finish fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, third will be a massive challenge.
And people will
challenge.
Be outraged by us saying this now. Yeah. Some people listening to this will be absolutely outraged saying, that's absolute bullshit. Why did we get him in the first place? Why did we get Rodgers if just hitting fourth? Because it's being able to... Rodgers never looked like being able to take that step. To actually get us
Look,
into that.
As much as, you know, I don't want to piss on anyone's chips, we're in a league that is, you know, legally, financially doped. The chances of us winning the league any season with any manager under this financial structure are minute, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely minute. So for people to be saying that if Klopp doesn't win the league, that is in some way not a good performance or whatever, is madness, because they're not living in the real world. Of course we all have this wish, this optimistic view that maybe if things ran for us and maybe if and he has a reputation for getting more out of the team than other managers have and all this kind of stuff, which is absolutely true. But his first 3 years at Dortmund, he did, you know, it was gradual improvement. Gradual improvement.
It's like trying to run or trying to cycle the Tour de France clean.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we're ultimately...
That's what we're doing. Klopp is a clean rider in the Tour de France with Armstrong still there. That's exactly where he is.
Yeah.
Like, a bad achievement or a bad performance for Klopp over 6 years or how long he stays at Liverpool won't be not winning the league or not getting into the Champions League every year. It'll be if he continues to get Liverpool 58 points a season, like Kenny in his last season, or Rodgers in his two seasons outside the other, they're going, or, you know, we'll be at a Hutchin and, you know, these kind of points per game ratio. If he can improve our points per game ratio by 10 points, 15 points a season, then it's a massive improvement. Will it be good enough to get fourth?
We just don't know.
How do you know? Like, you can only get as many points as you can over the 38 games and then see where it leaves you.
Exactly, but you hit the nail on the head. Klopp isn't doing what some people wanted him to do, right? So there were people who said that Balotelli was on loan waiting for Klopp to come in. So that when Klopp came in, Balotelli would be in Klopp's plans. You know, but Klopp would make a player out of Markovic. Klopp would make Sako captain. Klopp would, Lallana be gone. Lallana's gone. Lovren would be gone.
Yeah.
And he's not doing the things that everyone thought that he was going to do. So suddenly now it's open season on Klopp on small things. And it's not that you can't, people say, oh, we should be able to criticise. Of course you should be able to criticise. But surely our first obligation is to try and understand, to try and go, why is he thinking this? Why is he doing this? Why is this happening? Not just he's wrong. And that's the bit that drives me crazy. I've seen Klopp described as negligent, right? Negligent. This is a man whose entire career is built on whether this football team wins results. And he's being negligent. But it's just madness. It drives me crazy.
It's the same sort of, okay, I'm going to go over the top on this, but it's the same sort of people that criticise the Quran having absolutely no idea about it, and they have opinions on Muslims and whatever else, and they don't have a fucking clue.
No.
And okay, I am being very much over the top with that, but it's that same sort of mentality. This doesn't suit my narrative, and therefore I'm going to find reasons why I can criticise the manager. Look,
instead of just going, I could have got that wrong when I said Klopp would do this. And let's kind of just ride with what's happening. There's lots of things happening at Liverpool that are up for debate, which Klopp is solely in charge of. The left-back situation, defensive midfielder situation, the possibility of Sako going out. Like, these are all talking points, but you have to, like Dave says, try and understand the facts. We're not obliged to know the facts. We won't know the facts. So you kind of have to say, at times, we aren't the big financial powerhouse that the three or four teams in the league are. So let's just accept some things and let the man do his job.
And also, like,
can't make it all happen overnight. Like, I mean, if he brings in a new left full, and he brings in a new defensive midfielder, and he brings in another centre back, is there anyone fucking left over from last year? Because he's bought a goalkeeper.
That's what I was just going to say. He's just spent the summer getting rid of 13 players.
Yeah.
Right. So
with probably another couple to go.
Let's take the defensive midfield situation, right? Because that's the one that I think people have accused him of being negligent about, right? That he hasn't bought someone to substitute for Emerykan, right? So first of all know all summer he wanted Zielinski and he wanted Dahoud, right? So he obviously went off Zielinski and Dahoud was the guy he wants, right? And from what I read, there's a confidence that they're going to go back for him next year.
Yeah.
Feeling that he could probably do with another year in the Bundesliga, but he is the guy that the Klopp has identified and said he wants, right? So Klopp's got a choice now. Does he go out and buy a central midfielder and then either have to get rid of Henderson or Milner, right? Either now or next summer, he's got to do that, right? And there is, as we know, a 50% chance that whoever he buys could not work.
Yeah.
So he is sitting there and he's going, okay, my choice is I can be relatively conservative. I've got Emre Can, who's, you know, my number one guy. I've got Henderson, who I will work with and train, and he will get better in that role. And I will wait for the guy I want because it's a 6-year deal and I'm building to win the league in 2 years rather than, you know,
right now,
looking to build it right now. That is a perfectly reasonable situation for him to be in. We may disagree. We may wish it was different. Mm. But he isn't being negligent, because if you think you've identified this problem and Jurgen Klopp hasn't, then you are a fucking moron, right? Because there is nothing. There is no problem that you have identified or a solution that you have thought of or any of us have thought of that he hasn't thought of.
Yeah.
Because if that was true, then I give up. Because we may as well all be managers then. Yeah. Because it's just bollocks.
Yeah,
and he's privy to so much more information.
Exactly. My final point is on Henderson, right? Henderson can't play there, Henderson can't play there, Henderson can't play there, whatever, right? But I said this to you in WhatsApp, right? First time Emery Khan played deep-lying midfield player for us, I think for the first like 6 months, there was a lot of criticism of him, right?
Absolutely.
And he got better. First time Gerrard played there, remember against Aston Villa?
Yeah.
And people were like, oh my
Fabian
God,
Delph,
don't
think,
ever let him play there again. Yeah. And we nearly win the league with him playing there.
He became an absolutely fantastic...
Yeah. So you've got to trust. So Klopp is looking at this guy going... I can make him better in this role.
And he was better against Spurs.
Exactly.
He, in my opinion, had a very good game in Spurs.
So there is thinking here. It's not like he's going into work whistling, going, what, a defensive midfielder? What's that? Oh, shit,
why
yes,
have none of you told me about this?
Why didn't you mention that you needed that? You know?
Yeah, look, we're all entitled to throw in our opinions and debate things, but when you see the level of criticism towards him and the language that's used and the complete naivety.
It's nearly a disdain. It is so
disrespectful that fans are putting so much doubt over a manager and what he's doing. A manager who's...
Based on one result.
Yeah, look,
but guaranteed to still have YNWA in their bio. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's,
but it's one result.
Yeah,
if,
I know.
If Klopp takes that personally, he might... Like, he could say, people might laugh, but he could say... I don't need to hang around with this shit.
Yeah.
Like, the press are bad enough. My own fans are like this.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Yeah.
You know, because, I don't know, he was adored at Dortmund. Like, I mean, he calls back there a king.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't know whether...
Even in his bad last season, no one was calling for him to be sacked.
No.
Nobody. So, anyway, I think we've made...
Well, I suppose what I would say is, we say nobody was calling for him to be sacked.
We don't know.
I guarantee you there was a bunch of Dortmund fans that completely didn't give a fuck about what he'd done the past 5 seasons and were calling for him to be sacked.
Yeah.
But for me, I suppose, I think there's an element, and I keep on referring back to this six-year deal, but I think there was an element, and I said this before the summer started, of us breaking even this summer. I thought we might break even or be close enough to it.
Net spend?
Yeah, I predicted we would come out with a profit from the summer. I thought we'd do a Spurs, because I was looking at what Spurs have done over the last few years, and they've actually turned profits on a few summers. And my thinking was, Klopp maybe looked at it and said, okay, we don't have Europe. I believe I can get enough without having to spend mad money. I believe we can get enough out of the lads we bring in and what we have there to get us into that top four. And then I have the ability and the resources next summer to go and do what I need to do if we've got Champions League qualification.
Or January. January's only 4 months away, right?
Yeah.
If we get to January and the left back issue is a legitimate issue, or the defensive midfield player,
you sign someone.
Look, there's so much we don't know. We don't know whether that money, like from Sky, and the profits from the 2014 financials that were released, and everything else that's happened since then with players going out and what money received, and whatever way deals were made, and when you get the money immediately, or you have to wait a few years, and blah blah blah. We don't know all these facts, but there is a large amount of money. There's a large amount of money that exists in Liverpool Football Club right now that isn't being spent.
But as you said,
it could be gone to the stand. We might find that in 3 or 4 weeks' time, the FSG either announced that the club is being sold. And that money had to have been kept within the club because they were planning for a sale. And as Dave was talking about earlier, there's a lot of commercial deals that are now being cancelled, and a lot of things are happening within the club that looks like it could be heading towards a sale. Or else they could just announce saying, good news, football fans.
Hello, football fans. Hello, soccer ball fans.
Over there in Liverpool.
Hey, guys.
We've had a cash injection into the club from some Chinese people. And we've also paid for the new stand. It's all paid up. And the club is now going to have £25 million pound sterling a year to invest into the transfer market immediately, as opposed to waiting 5 years for this thing to be paid off. Because, like, if you're business people, why would you give an interest-free loan of £114 million? If you can get that money absolutely immediately, why would you do that? That £114 million is worth way more to you than to just put into the club.
Yeah.
Interest-free.
You can do something with that to make it £150
But I do think, to your point about the squad size as well, I do think he's looked at it and gone... I mean, he said a few times, Jesus Christ, we've got a big squad, right? And that's without even thinking, oh, I'd like to see a bit more of Trent Alexander-Arnold, or I'd like to see a bit more of El Jarria or Woodburn or these guys. So, you know, I totally get why he's going, again, it's a six-year deal. look how hard it is to get rid of people. Look how hard it is to get rid of Balotelli. Yeah. Look how hard it is to get rid of Markovic, Alberto. Yeah, and he's going to buy someone now. If he buys a left back, right, that means next summer someone has to go, whether that's Milner, Moreno, Joe Gomez, you know, whoever it is. That's another. It's he's just creating this backlog for himself that he's going to have to clear out. So maybe he's just going, year zero, the only people I want you are the people that I know I want you, and we'll add a few as we go along. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of mad to imagine that a player like Balotelli, who knows from day one that he has no future when Klopp comes in.
Under the bus, mate.
He has no future at the club. He probably knows that straight away. And it's going to take till deadline day to remove
to shift him.
Such a fucking piece
of
dead
counter.
Yeah.
He is.
It's crazy. It's crazy that. And like, it's going to really piss me off now if they have to loan him out.
I don't care. I'd rather see him loaned out than still sticking around. You know, he's somebody said he's actually got 2 years left in his deal, though. It's not ended at the end of next season.
I think it's 2 years already, but I just hope somebody comes in and offers some sort of legal tender.
Like Palermo or something. Yeah. Legal tender. Just says some two pigs and a goat.
And they just get rid of him and move on.
Yeah. It needs to happen for everyone. Yeah. You know, so that he's no longer associated with us.
Yeah.
I suppose let's pull ourselves back into the Spurs game then.
Game.
We got a little just a touch sidetracked. And you know what?
We already started with Mignolet.
I know. Yeah, no, we got up as far. We were just about to move on to Klein because we said matchup and Lovren had good solid games. We don't have a match for a while, so we're going to have another pod before the Leicester game comes along. So we don't need to cover that, and that's why I let it flow. But looking at Klein, apart from if you do want to nitpick at that little mistake he makes by coming in and maybe leaving Danny Rose there, I think he was back to having a solid game again.
The only thing I'd say, right, he tends to be at the scene of the crime a lot. All of the goals we've conceded have come down his side.
This season, yes.
Right? Plus, he's given away stupid free kicks. That's two stupid free kicks he gave away against Spurs now, where he fouled around the 18-yard line or around that area. So, I haven't looked at it enough because he's one of the, you just assumed Klein had a good game. Klein, he was good.
Klein,
but we are conceding a lot down that side. Now, maybe it's Mane isn't helping him enough.
Yeah.
But nobody ever gave Moreno that excuse when Coutinho was in front of him.
Yeah. So it's just more repetitive.
Like, I just wouldn't mind a look at it. Like, you know?
Moreno's mistakes stand out more. It's like,
I'm not comparing
Lovren's mistakes stand out more. They're catastrophic errors. They just stand out. It's crazy.
You're right. Sometimes. They make catastrophic fuckups happen.
Whereas, like Dave says, like,
but Moreno hasn't conceded a goal. He hasn't cost us a goal yet.
No. Subtly, Klein seems to be at the scene of the crime somehow or another. And I also noticed as well during that Spurs game when they did look like scoring for about 15 minutes beforehand, when they're putting a lot of pressure on, there was a lot of madness going on that side of the pitch. There was a lot of points where you kind of wondered, why is the centre half here? Where's hang on, like, you know, players just kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
And it tends to happen when a team is under severe pressure that players kind of get sucked to the ball.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
human nature. Because
you don't have a chance to look around. And we do it to teams ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
We put them under pressure and players are falling over themselves and getting turned inside out, which they wouldn't normally do. Like, Liverpool did it last year against Arsenal, Bellerin. Like, you know, you don't see it.
We had Henderson and Wijnaldum playing in a two there with Lallana, I suppose, just in one in front of the two.
Yeah.
For me,
wasn't it two in front of the one?
What?
Two in front of the one, though, right? Henderson deep, Wijnaldum and Lallana ahead of him.
I don't know where Wijnaldum was, because that's what I'm going to get
into. We're going to debate this now.
We're going to debate this. And my thinking is, I really, apart from maybe 8 minutes versus Arsenal, I'm hugely underwhelmed by Wijnaldum. He was very poor. He was, for me, our poorest player on Saturday. He looked lost. He couldn't make a tackle. I don't remember him making a single key pass. Maybe he did, but I don't remember it. He didn't look involved in any of the stuff we were dangerous with, but he also didn't look like he was involved in preventing Spurs from doing anything when they were dangerous. He looked like a passenger to me for the majority of the game, and I couldn't understand. And yet again, we're talking about being allowed to criticise the manager. If my one criticism for the game against Spurs would probably be how Wijnaldum stayed on that pitch 90 minutes and we didn't see the, because he looked tired as well. And I couldn't understand how the fresh legs of Grujic weren't brought in.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't feel that was the game to give Grujic minutes in, but something needed to change in there.
It's strange. Like, I mean, Wijnaldum didn't do a terrible lot in pre-season. I think he play a nice ball at one stage over the top? Or was that...
No, he assisted again. He two assists against Arsenal. Didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was it Arsenal? He,
yeah.
He knocked the ball off. Yeah. That wasn't bad. But aside from that, like, he hasn't hit the ground running really for Liverpool.
That's that was my 8 minutes versus Arsenal.
Yeah, and like, I suppose Liverpool fans won't remember Ronaldo on Match of the Day last year for Newcastle. Scoring a lot of goals. They come from deep. And but if you look, he was playing in advanced roles. He was playing left midfield. He was playing right midfield. He was playing as a 10. He was playing as a striker almost at some stage. So when you look at Match of the Day and you see him scoring goals, and then he's playing kind of like a deep midfield role for Liverpool, people think, oh, well, that must be his position. And why isn't he doing all of this for us? Like, he hasn't regularly played that position in, since Klopp has obviously recognised he can do that, in such a long time. We can't really expect it straight away. So it's not working out for him so far, and he's probably going to lose his place in the team if it continues.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so he's had a slow start, I will say that, right? I don't think he's been phenomenal. But again, I think we have to... There are some mitigating circumstances. I think he is being asked to be deeper as a result of Henderson, whereas I think if Kahn was playing... Wijnaldum would probably give him more freedom to move forward. I think he's neat and tidy. I don't think he's... I mean, he's not, you know, splitting defences. What I like about him is he is always in the box, and he's very attack-minded, and he's looking to add numbers into the box. I think being asked to play central midfield under Jurgen Klopp is probably a massive step up for him, from being the best player in Newcastle to suddenly being in this new system, this new midfield. So I'm not ready to... I didn't think he was terrible. He wasn't brilliant, but I didn't think he was terrible. But I can see what he is going to offer once he's given a bit more license to move forward. He's quick with his feet. He's got two good feet. He's strong, doesn't get knocked off the ball. He got an eye for a pass, an eye for goal. I think there's more to come from him. But he is starting slower. There's no doubt about that.
I'm just hoping that one or two things. Either he can be coached, maybe he's a little bit nervous, maybe he's not used to playing that position, as you say, and he can be coached into improving in that position, or that he wasn't bought for that position.
I don't think he was bought for that position. I think he's bought, you know, all things being equal, he's probably going to rotate with Lallana in that more advanced of the three. But I think, you know, needs must. And you know, I'm not sure Grujic has done enough in the minutes he's had to say, you know, he should be starting ahead of him, personally.
No, and I wasn't suggesting he should start ahead of him, but for me, I thought on 65, 70 minutes, when he looked like a guy who was tired. He was kind of half running after players, but he never really looked like catching up, getting in front of them, getting a tackle in, anything. He just looked like he was running beside them, as if to say, oh, wait for me. You know,
He needs a big moment, he does. Mm. He needs a goal, I think. Yeah. And I think if he gets a goal, suddenly... You know, you do see it.
Oh, it's a spark.
You know, Henderson, I remember Henderson when Henderson first signed for Liverpool, you know, he was really poor until he kind of hit a couple of goals, and then it suddenly fell into place for him. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's a good player. I think he'll come good.
But he is getting written off a lot, like, by fans.
And I'm just for the record, I'm not writing
off. No, I know.
I thought he was decent enough against Arsenal. I'm trying to think back now. But,
He was. I just thought he was decent in parts against Arsenal, but for me, and Arsenal, I picked up on him not being great. And then he was poor against Burnley and poor against...
He's a busy player, and I think he suits what Klopp's trying to do. It's just, so far this season, there's just been a few little holes that's probably not helped Liverpool's kind of fluidity, like getting on the ball and being able to do damage. And for them not to spend so many minutes of the game being vulnerable.
Yeah,
the midfield is very congested.
If Wijnaldum is playing in a side that's like, if we see a different Liverpool against Leicester, and they're probing and they're putting and they're not so exposed, like, and I know Leicester can do that to you, maybe we see a better player in them.
Yeah, okay. And what did we think of Henderson? Because for me, I thought it was a marked improvement on his game against
Absolutely,
Burnley.
Absolutely, yeah, it was.
He was slaughtered against Burnley.
He was after the Burnley match. And I think in general he had a good game. He didn't do anything major. Be good, but he still looked quite comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how he would have fared if Spurs hadn't played two defensive midfielders. You know, so I think that helped him. He had a bit more time, a bit more space. I think having Matip as a ball playing centre half helped him as well, so that he always had an outlet.
He shifted
the
ball quicker, though, didn't he?
He was good. He was much better. You know, again, The question is, how much of his natural game are you limiting by asking him to do that? He's not a great long passer, although he hit some very good passes now in the game, but he's not a great long passer. Plus, he has a tendency sometimes to be just a little slow on the ball, not release it as quick as perhaps he could. But he had a good game.
I think what Connor describes that bit more accurately is the fact that when he gets on the ball, if he does move it quickly, he doesn't move it to the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't play with fucking rear view mirrors. Yeah. You know, like some midfielders, they can see around them.
Yeah, he doesn't have a picture in his
before
head.
He gets the ball, he knows what's happening. He doesn't play like that. So when he moves it fast, it looks like a hot potato.
Yeah.
Whereas like some players, they get the ball and they hit it first time, they spray a ball out wide into a space.
You can imagine it going through his head going, okay, the ball's coming towards me, put my foot on it, turn around, look up, there's someone over there, I'm going to pass it over there. So do you know what I mean? He thinks about it
all. If he wants to put a useful ball, he's slow on the ball. But when he moves it too quickly, it looks bad. So he's damned if he does.
The challenge for Henderson is going to be what he does once he gets put back in his better position, I think, because that's where the competition from the likes of Lallana and Wijnaldum is going to come. Is if Henderson isn't adding in the attacking third, and Kahn is the defensive midfielder, right? Mm. He's going to play there. Henderson has got a battle on his hands then, because I think Lallana's been excellent in that role. There's cause for Coutinho, which I don't think should happen, but there's cause for Coutinho to go into the midfield as well.
Yeah, I'd like to see that actually. I'd like to see that at the expense of Wijnaldum, to see what he.
I would probably prefer to see. I wouldn't particularly like to see Henderson, Lallana, and Coutinho
as a
three.
No.
But if you're talking about Chan, Coutinho, Henderson, and Coutinho,
yeah,
I can understand.
And then
Wijnaldum
to take up his position a bit further up the pitch.
Yeah,
well, so swap Coutinho and Wijnaldum around.
Yeah, and then you've got Henderson and Chan.
Coutinho's scoring 1-3 at the moment.
But then what do you do with Lallana?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if Lallana's not in the team.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, you can't fault him at the moment.
Yeah, like at the minute, I would be saying, you know, even Coutinho comes out ahead of. Ahead
I think so too. I think beyond Mane, I think Lallana's the best player.
He's been a great player on that club, but he's not spying. You know, like, he's not.
Why not?
Well,
I think he is now.
He only is because needs more. Like, they've had injuries to players where he's always kind of being the first up. You know, next when there's been an injury.
I used to think that, but for me, and believe me, as Dave will back me up, I was his biggest critic. Mm. I really see the benefit of him in the side now.
I think he is a standout.
You know what? He has that little bit of niggle.
Yeah.
He has that little bit of needle that we don't have. We, you know, Jamie's been in here and we've said it, Phil said it, you've said it, Dave. We don't have enough pricks in the team. We don't have enough fellas that are willing to...
No, he's a soft prick though.
I don't know. You know what? He's
a smeezer prick.
I think if every single person was fit, Lallana would start. If every single person was fit, and Klopp said, and you said to Klopp, pick your best team.
He probably puts Lallana
in there. Yeah. I don't think there's any. I think that's his position now. He's gone. He's playing at the in an attacking central midfield position. Yeah. I think it suits him because he's two-footed. I think he's good with the ball. He can pass. He's got a slight turn of pace.
A lot of people might find that hard to take. I can accept that if that's the case. I completely accept that. But I just wonder.
Would he be the first
the types of signings?
Be the first one gone when
with
Klopp
the types
comes
of
in.
Signings and the types of links we've had. You have to wonder who's surplus.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
It does question. Like, Klopp, you know, wanted to bring in goals. Like, he brought in pretty much everyone he brought in has a bit of a goal threat in them. They've scored goals
previously.
I think Klopp,
if he had to get rid of
Lallana hadn't got, you know, if Lallana continued to not contribute that way, which he kind of did last season at the end, then he could be surplus.
I think surplus is one of the strikers. Because, you know, you had... Sturridge and Origi on the bench. Ings can't get in the squad. You know, he seems to favour Firmino, Coutinho, Mane as his front three, which I think there's loads of sense in that. Yeah. You know, I think that makes a lot of sense. So when you're looking at it, you're going, you probably don't need Ings.
Yeah.
And there's an argument that, you know, do you need Sturridge? And that's a big call. But like, I mean, don't get me wrong, on numbers alone and the quality we know he has.
Yeah. Can we move on to Sturridge and Origi?
Well,
let's
move up. We've just spoken about Lallana. Let's talk about Mane and Coutinho, who sat in behind Firmino to start with. You know, we'll quickly do it because we want to get on to other stuff. I don't think anybody can argue, apart from Mane being a bit stupid on a couple of occasions with his reckless tackling. He was electric again, wasn't he? I love him.
Yeah,
and I really hope in six or seven games.
I felt like sometime he was going to get a bit in trouble. Like,
yeah. I thought he was going to. He should have gone.
He should have been sent off.
To get him off the pitch.
But he's got nickel as well, so fair play. Like,
yeah, no, it is good. It is good. He's just electric, isn't he? You know, it's one of those things whereby you're just waiting to see what he's going to do. And he's so close to nicking it from Vorm on two occasions there. A couple of other chances.
There's not many players in the squad who had a chance of getting there. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised we haven't gone for another pacey winger, you know, another very quick player like Mane. After we've seen what his pace has done.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we went after that Dortmund kid, Pulisic, is it? You know, he's another very quick winger. So if we were to buy another player, it wouldn't surprise me if we bought another
attacking
player. And
what about this guy, Luan?
He's made up.
Yeah, I think he's made up.
He's never heard of him ever. No.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
There'll be people who tell me they've seen every minute he's ever played, but I've never, ever heard of him, never seen him. I thought it was Luan when I first heard about it. Like, you know.
Coutinho? Thoughts? He should score that goal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he should. You fancy anyone to score from fucking 4 yards, but it was typical of Coutinho. You've seen him with that finish a few times, just shows the keeper the other side and just reverses it back. Yeah. And he has that skill to do it. Yeah, like, and he hit the ball very crisp.
Yeah, Vorm did well to save it with his foot.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still disappointing.
Yeah, I saw someone say on Twitter, it was a great point, it's like, apart from the odd winning goal, what does Coutinho give us? It's a bit like, what has the Romans ever done? You know what I mean? It's a bit like, I can see the criticism of him going, you know, for all the ball he gets and all his talent, is his output good enough? Yeah. Right?
The answer is no. Really.
Right. You know? But he is scoring 10 goals a season, 10 assists a season for, you know, so
how many of them type of players can you have in your team that they contribute? Like, there's no doubt about it. If Sturridge plays every game for Liverpool and he's fit, he's going to score bags and bags and bags of goals. But how many of them, like, if you've got, say you had Coutinho on the team, you had Sturridge on the team and whoever, like, you know, Lallana, you know, they're kind of, no, sorry, Lallana's a bad example.
Yeah, but you know, Lallana up till
Coutinho,
February.
Yeah, Coutinho, you know what I mean? And, Sturridge are passengers at times.
Yeah.
And, like, Klopp is the anti-passenger team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know what you're saying. You can't afford to be 9 hard workers. You can sometimes get away with one.
You can accommodate one. And I look, I've seen Coutinho track back a few times and win the ball back.
It used to be a huge part of his game. Yeah, and it's nearly like it's gone out of his game, which is a funny one.
I think that it's part of it is we know how good he can be.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you've seen him have moments. Because he never has a whole game where he's like it, but you've seen him have, you know, periods in a game where he's absolutely unplayable. And you're like, you know, why isn't that a more consistent output from him? You know, because you look at Sterling, Suarez, other players that we've had who've suddenly kicked up a gear and just gone on to a different level. And I think we're still waiting for Coutinho to do that. He does it in flashes, but he's not running games. You know, he's not like, he's not doing what Sterling did when he was there or Suarez did and things like that. So that's the bit where I think Coutinho is always going to have a good game because he's always going to do good things. But you got to score that. Yeah. And he can't keep trying to bend one in the bottom corner when there's other options there.
Yeah.
You know, because that's his latest thing as well. He runs along the 18-yard box and tries to bend it in the bottom corner. Mm. Now, every 10, it's going to go in. And as I said, what have the Romans ever done for us? So, he scores winning goals. I get that. But I can see the argument.
He's not
for
a natural finisher. No. Put a striker in that, like, put Sturridge in kind of that position, and he'll dink it.
Yeah,
he'll do anything. Yeah. Like, he'll do anything with that ball.
Yeah,
because with strikers, everything slows down. The composure is just on a different level. When you're a midfielder like Coutinho, like, he can bend the ball into the top corner from 35 yards. But put a kind of a midfielder who's, you know,
and part of it is his brain is a little quicker sometimes than other people on the pitch, or even quicker than he's able to do, because sometimes you could see the pass he's trying to do, you could see the thing he's trying to do, and he hasn't quite got the technique,
his foot just didn't play
exactly ball. Or someone else has not made that run, usually Firmino, because I think that those two link quite well. So I mean, Coutinho's a funny one. I mean, you know, it's hard to argue he shouldn't be in the side. But I think there's always that feeling that we should be getting more out of him.
Yeah, and let's use that then to move on to Firmino, because I actually saw Simon Brundish put up a thing on Twitter there about Firmino being used as a forward compared to being used as an attacking midfielder. And there's a huge disparity in terms of the amount of points that we've accumulated with him in an attacking midfielder. Points per games, let's say, obviously. Yeah. And it's way higher as an attacking midfielder. Now, I don't know, is that because we've played him in games in, let's say, that, you know, false nine or that furthest forward attacking position? Have we played him in games that were the tougher games in that position? Is that why our points per game ratio is down? Or is it just that like, he doesn't score enough goals when played in that position?
I think, like, if it's a thing where Firmino plays as a 10, say, and there's someone ahead of him, it means your opposition is a bit weaker, doesn't it?
But should it?
But it's such an isolated stat. It's ridiculous. It's irrelevant. I mean, because you have to look at the opposition. You have to look at who else he was playing with. You've got to look at...
When Firmino was
loads of different things. When he was announced as a,
when he was announced as a centre forward last year, who were we playing against? Arsenal or something?
No, Arsenal. We played the early game because he played early on in the season. We played Benteke.
There was a particular game.
Benteke was excellent.
Chelsea, or was it?
Didn't we beat Chelsea, City, Arsenal? You know, Chelsea, City, and drew with Arsenal all with Firmino up front.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know the stat, but I personally, at home in particular, would play. But in most games, I think I would play a striker.
Yeah, so would I. Mm. That's why
I was going to say I'd play Origi, but
Yeah. Klopp is going to, let's say in a year or two's time, he's going to probably arrive in the luxurious position where he can play his favourite formation, where he's playing 4-2-3-1. Yeah. So he has a striker that works his bollocks off, and then he has a two in midfield that he can be trusted to screen the defence. But at the moment, he's going to have to. Yeah, at the moment he's going to have to play this 4-3-3. He needs an extra body in midfield, so it just means that we're losing a player up top.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I think his ideal. I mean, if he could have anyone, his ideal thing is that he would have bought someone to sit next to Kahn. Yeah. Probably that De Hood kit, right? Or a version of that. And then he has three in front of them that are just flying. Firmino, Coutinho, Mane. Yeah. And then probably Origi rather than Sturridge. And we'll talk about Sturridge in a minute. But I think if you're looking at the type of striker the Klopp would want, it would be someone like Origi.
I think eventually, while you're talking about it, you have two very clever midfielders who don't fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, who are really, really good and they're really, you know, top midfielders. Yeah. Like Chan can be, we hope he can be, and then somebody else.
Chan has to come into that role because he still gets very far ahead of the ball, gets very hard, far ahead of play.
But I think he doesn't want a Mascherano, he wants an Alonso. He doesn't want Mascherano.
No, and I don't like them players anyway. You know, just like one trick ponies in the middle of the park. I know, like a lot of people really believe in that yard dog midfielder, but you see at Barca and Busquets, you don't have to have it. Like you can have a player who's so good staying up on his feet reading the game, and you never need it, but
Bayern did it as well.
Yeah, but when a Klopp does eventually arrive at that, has he sold Coutinho by then? Probably. Like, you know, he's going to need a midfielder who's a bit more like Mane up, that's going to play wide, because he'll have Firmino as a 10. He likes a 10 that's busy, that can do everything
and can double and can go to two up top if they need to.
After that, then, is Coutinho kind of finished? Because he probably will buy another Mane with all that pace up top. Mm. That will work back.
I think he's smart enough to probably sell Coutinho when he doesn't want to sell him, inverted commas, to make the money.
Listen, I think Coutinho goes next summer. I'm surprised he didn't go this summer, but I think he'll definitely go next summer.
Yeah, he's a ton of player.
Then again, are we just doing what we slag people for doing? Saying what Klopp's going to do, and it just looked like three knobs.
I'm not saying like I'm an expert in Klopp or anything, but you can kind of see how it's panning out. You can see what he likes by his comments and by his praise. Like, you know, like he'll never say Coutinho, he's real important in the team. He'll tell you, he's magic. He does moments of magic. You know, like he is an exciting player who makes fans very happy, and that's why someone like
he never makes him as if he's an integral part of it.
Yeah. No, you'll never see the statistic nerds out there put a big article together on all the things that Coutinho did for a whole game, because it doesn't happen. So we can see, like, Coutinho's very in your face, what happens, like, you know, all that magic. And, like,
yeah, when he smashes a screamer into the top corner.
A team like, yeah, a team like Barca buying him to fill a gap there, like, you know, they'll make the fans there very happy, or Real or whatever, like, you know. So, Klopp, I just get the feeling he needs somebody like another Mane who's a bit busier, a bit more of a bite.
That's kind of the disappointing bit, though. I think two and a half seasons ago, Coutinho did have that. I think he's lost that. I think he's lost some of his busyness.
I don't think he was ever
in that 13, 14 team, I thought.
But he was brilliant when he had three players ahead of him who were all lightning quick and could break defences, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Klopp doesn't play like that.
Yeah.
He just doesn't play. He plays counter-attacking football, right? Now, Coutinho's just still shining it, and I still think he's going to have very good games and moments and all that kind of stuff. But
Coutinho was playing the position that Lallana's playing now.
Exactly. And I think, well, and this is where people will disagree, because they like Coutinho and don't like Lallana, but that's where he's never even tried to play Coutinho there, Klopp.
Never.
He's never looked at him there. Looked at him there. And he started him every single game on the left. Every game. So he doesn't trust him in the middle.
It's probably more where Gruick comes into it, when he trusts him to come
exactly.
In. Okay. Andy, do you want to have a little chat about storage or?
I suppose that there's a nice he's very box office at the moment. There's a lot of London journalists want to talk about it, and there's a lot of local journalists want to talk about it. There's a lot of fans want to talk about attitude and everything else. A lot of it's invented. It is, like, it's gone way over the top. Like, the fella's getting a really hard time. But the argument shouldn't be about his attitude. The argument has to be just about where Liverpool see him and where he sees Liverpool.
Yeah.
You know, they're not exactly a marriage made in heaven under Klopp.
No. I mean, it's worth remembering that Sturridge didn't play for nearly 2 years and got paid over 100 grand a week while he was injured. You know, so there's an element of, you know, Sturridge. And I understand why he is. He sees himself as a starter, because that's what he was when he got injured.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So now he's come back and he's like, well, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm not in the side?
In his head,
he is
a starter. Like most fans.
If that's me, right? As long as it doesn't negatively impact, and the only way it negatively impacts, it's nothing to do with the press. It's if it legitimately negatively impacts, which it doesn't seem to.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I want him to be angry.
Yeah, he's sitting.
Of course, that's what if you're a striker, your star striker, because that's what he is.
He seems very open. Like, I like players probably that, like, you know, have a bit more respect for the club and different things and be a bit quieter. But you cannot hold it against him either at all. Like, he's a striker and he's greedy and he wants to score goals. Yeah. Let him talk. And he seems to be very open and honest and everything else. But for him to have a future at Liverpool, I think it's a compromise that probably can't happen with his terms. I think Liverpool will say to him, fair enough, stay in your 100 grand a week and stay, but you're going to be an impact sub, or you're going to probably not play every game. We want to protect you because you are made of crisps, and we also want to look at the fact that in a lot of games in this league you're not suitable for this system. So if he could agree to that, which I don't think he will, then it could happen.
He's within himself. He's Michael Owen after his hamstrings.
Yeah.
That's where Sturridge is right
Absolutely
now.
Absolutely is.
Yeah, for me, in a sense, it's no longer about which players are on the team.
Exactly.
I'm going beyond that now.
Sturridge
really
is our
care.
Best player, but he's not our most important.
We'll move on. A quick shout out. Well, it is Liverpool related to an extent. Robbie Keane, 2 nights' time, plays his last game for Ireland. 67 international goals.
Yeah.
145 games, was it? Close enough.
Yeah,
if memory serves me
it's a stupid amount of goals for an international player. Like he's outscored so many greats.
Yeah.
For Brazil, he needs one for
more.
Italy,
I know it's different games to goals ratio, but he needs one more to equal Gerd Müller's record.
It's phenomenal, really. Like there was 3 or 4 years where he was just at a different level for Ireland, whereas he wasn't really producing as much at a club level.
Mm.
But like he was in the early days, kind of like a Coventry, and when he went to Inter, like, and back to Leeds, he was a pleasure to watch. Like,
and at him Spurs, and Duff.
Like, you know, he was a beautiful type of player, like, you know, brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was such a shame that it didn't work out when he came to Liverpool. He would have loved to see him, like, you know.
He'd have loved it himself, but it was just the circumstances that he was bought under, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, I as a non-Irish person, I think his goal scoring is almost more impressive because he was playing for the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know,
I mean, friendlies against poorer teams.
Yeah,
and stuff
but
like
you know,
that.
But so everyone so has that, right? Argentina, yeah. And he scored more international goals than Batistuta, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. That's a fella that was playing for one of the best countries in the world.
And you know, I agree with Andy. You know, when he was early in his career, say before he was 25, he was an unbelievable player. And when we signed him, I was like so excited to see what he'd do with Torres. I was so excited by it. But actually, you know, it was just probably a season too late. I think a season before, because the season before we signed him, he was brilliant. Him and Berbatov.
Yeah, yeah, class.
Oh my
class.
God.
Yeah.
But but he's a great goal scorer.
And what I like, he's the kind of player that Liverpool fans always crave, like the local kind of type, you know, working class, like the type of very like Fowler personality was. Like, I mean, like, I don't know Robbie Keane personally, but I know so many people that know him personally, you know, relatives of his, and he's great crack and all, always does karaoke,
and
he has the exact same sense of humor as, like, you know, a lot of people I know, and it reminds me of the Fowler type, like, you know, he could have been
I was listening,
very down to earth,
resonates with what I like about football and what I think Liverpool do.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what made it such a shame, like, because he does resonate with the people of Liverpool.
Yeah, and it was the team he supported, you know. Mm. And I listened to Kevin Kilbane there during the week. He's on Off the Ball now on a regular basis. And I was listening on the way up in the car tonight. Robbie Keane was actually on Off the Ball and they were chatting to him. But during the week, Kevin Kilbane was talking about him and he was saying, you know, he came in as a young lad into the squad. They played over 100 games together, you know, for Ireland.
Mm.
But he came into the squad as a young, bubbly, lively young fella, and he said all the way through, all the way up to the point he became captain, and even after, even when he wasn't in the side anymore, he was always an absolute joy around the squad, keeping everybody lifted, keeping it. And you know, that's one of the key elements for Ireland, always has been, in terms of the morale and the team spirit that they had. And he's probably just the absolute epitome of that. And I think there's so many people out there that have loved to knock him. You know, they really have loved to give him stick, not just from a Liverpool perspective, from an Ireland perspective.
Mm.
There's tons of fans out there. So what does he do? He's fucking shy. Oh yeah, okay, he scored. It's another, you know,
what are the Romans ever done?
I think there's a bit of Gerrard's about him. He stuck around for a little bit longer than his body could.
Yeah, he was asked about that tonight. And they said, why didn't you go after Euro 2012 or even after the qualifying for the World Cup in 2014? He just said, I didn't feel the time was right. It wasn't right for me. I didn't feel I'd done all I could.
He's seen a little bit as kind of, you know, it's a class thing. He's seen as a little bit unsophisticated, I think. I think he gets a really raw deal because he's, I don't know, a little rougher on the edges, like, you know what I mean? But if you just look at his footballing talent, which football's a working class game, like, you know, but if you look at his talent alone, he's almost like a figure of fun, a bit cheesy, like, you know, Robbie Keane. He's a bit fantastic now and likes the clobber and all
Hollywood
that kind of stuff.
Bob.
Yeah, but if you just look at the goals he scored and his ability.
The range of goals.
I mean, he was a phenomenal
player. This is a young man.
You could never
signed.
Be accused of being a cheat in football, like just sniffing around the six-yard box. He scored all sorts of goals.
And he played in Inter Milan
set
when
pieces.
Serie A
was
like,
I was just going to say, he
league.
Was signed by Inter Milan when Inter Milan were a good side. Yeah. They were a Christian Vieri side.
When you think about the mad money that goes on in football now, like, look at all the moves that he made.
How
and
much
the
would
amount
he
of money that's generated and all the money that went back to Crumlin United because of it. Madness. It's fucking great.
And to be fair, there he is tonight giving them a shout out.
And I'm not I'm not a huge international, like, at times I've been a massive Ireland fan and throughout a lot of Robbie Keane's career I was, but I'm not now, but like I am very sad, like, to think that we'll never see the likes of Robbie Keane for Ireland again, like we'll never see the likes
and
of Gerrard.
The final thing I'd say
about
him, you know, as someone who's Welsh, and you know, I've seen, we've had very good players, he has turned up to every fucking where he's been asked to play.
Yeah.
He has played every game, you know, apart from
never
being
moaned.
Injured. He's never said, oh, you know, I'm not going to do that. I got a Premier League game like Ryan Giggs for Wales, which was a big complaint that we always had about Giggs, was that he I don't think he played a friendly for the last 4 years of his international career. Like, you know, Robbie Keane.
That was the time zone thing.
Robbie Keane, wherever he was, he played.
Yeah, well, look,
and there's something to be said for that.
The thing I would rate him against is Wayne Rooney. And there's a player who's playing for one of the supposed world football superpowers.
Yeah.
He's got 53 goals in 110, 115 games. And he's played just the same level of shit opposition that Robbie Keane has in a much better team.
Yeah.
and I doubt he'll score another 14 international goals.
I agree.
That's the way I look at it. And that in itself, to be, would Wayne Rooney have scored 67 goals for Ireland?
No.
No, he wouldn't. Not in my opinion.
I agree.
Has Rooney played more games
than Keane? No. He's played about 30 games less. But he has to score 14 in the next 30 in order to match it. I can't see Rooney playing another 30 international games. No.
He's playing in midfield now and Allardyce anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, lads. Listen, instead of Trippers Chats this week, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have a quick chat about, we're a day and a half out, or 2 days out, should I say, from transfer window closing. So let's just have a quick yap about what we think, maybe not just the LFC, but in general. What do we see happening over the next couple of days? We'll go Liverpool first of all. What do we see happening over the next couple of days in terms of transfers?
Just people leaving the club. If they can't sell them, they'll be going out on loan. I know Klopp doesn't really favour the whole loan thing, but he does want to thin out a squad. He doesn't like having too many players around while he's trying to get his ideas across. So it looks like it's just going to be a lot of exits.
He said Markovic to go.
Yeah. Balotelli. I don't know why I'm thinking this, but I just imagine a player coming in out of the blue that we're all going to be happy
with. Would it be the wild speculation we've had over the last 4 days, perhaps?
I suppose, like...
Like Isco we get, is the latest
one. We get linked with players a lot.
Yeah, we were linked with Isco tonight.
Isco?
Yeah.
He's so not a cop.
It's just how legitimate the speculation seems this time. Like, it's some of the bigger hitters on Twitter are talking about it.
Luan.
Yeah. No, Luan. He doesn't exist, but one of the players that does exist, maybe that guy from Dortmund. Something like that could happen. I think he's defensive midfield options are spent and left back isn't going to happen either. I think we're going to have to wait till January. Yeah, so depending on how horrific we end up injuries-wise and whatever we need, it's going to be January at least before we see a left back and a defensive midfielder.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave?
So I don't think Liverpool will do anything.
Okay. Apart from some exits.
I think there's still one big money signing to come into the Premier League.
Morata to Arsenal or something like that, maybe?
That would be way too sensible for Arsenal to do that. They just bought this Perez guy. Yeah. Anyway. Wouldn't surprise me to see City go again.
Yeah.
You know, United still need... I still think United need a lot, but they definitely need another defender. So that wouldn't surprise me either to see that.
Bailey's been impressive, hasn't he? Or Bailey.
He has, but, you know, against three games, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
He's everything I love in it. A centre back, like, he's fucking an animal, like, you know, the way he just gets in and he leaves a bit on there.
He's like a better Sacco, isn't he?
he's like a Sacco.
Without the attitude problem.
Yeah. Without the cheating.
Without the drug problem.
Drugs.
I think that...
He's like a sacker. It doesn't make you feel like you're shitting every time he's on the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that Berahino will stay at West Brom and Arsenal's, you know, this Mustafi guy they bought.
Yeah.
I think he'll get injured after about a week.
Well, Mustafi, wasn't he at Everton?
Yeah, he was.
They let him go for like 2 million quid.
Didn't he go to Valencia then, was it? Yeah.
The whole Jim White thing is dead now. Like, you know, a few years ago when you were waiting for Big Ben to go bing bong, and there was Mills Barone. Like, I mean, I think the last time we experienced that was Torres. De Gea.
Was it De Gea?
With
Real Madrid last year. Sorry.
So
I thought you meant that Liverpool.
I don't really remember. Torres wasn't one.
That was a ring of the bell. And you were there at 10 to 12. But
it was happening.
You were like, it hasn't been announced yet. Maybe we're keeping him.
But it's a long while since Jim Wee had that new to tell us.
Yeah.
I just hope if we're not doing anything, we know.
Because they just rock past Melwood at quarter past one in the afternoon. There's just closed for business sign on the front of it.
Because Conor Priyanka, that was like the fucking longest.
Imagine sitting up and waiting on that to happen when it was a nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have made us any better or anything.
So it'll be a damp squib, basically.
It will. And it's funny, like, you know, the Sky are really, really struggling when it comes to that now.
They have to sell all their helicopters.
Cancel all the helicopters,
Surprised Chelsea haven't done more, actually. Haven't gone for another striker.
Yeah. But I think, again, it's, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, how well Chelsea might do. Like, I mean, I think if there's anyone Liverpool can finish ahead of, when we're talking about Chelsea, City, United, it is them. Because he will probably wait to see what he has, like Klopp did.
Yeah.
Whereas Mourinho's a real happen now type of manager.
Make it happen immediately.
Pep has done early business.
Yeah. So, well, Pep's known since November that he's joining City. Yeah. So,
but what's crazy, right, is all the money flying around. All the money flying around, right?
Yeah.
And Lukaku's going to finish the transfer window at Everton. And if Arsenal bought Lukaku, they could win the league, right? I think that is the difference between them really going for the league and not.
Yeah.
And what would he cost? Let's say he cost 70 million. It would be worth it because they'd win the league.
Well, Chelsea were nearly getting them.
I'm baffled that he went for this Perez guy, which is like 25 million or whatever. And for another 45 million, you could have got Lukaku.
I thought he was 16.
Or whatever Perez. He was. But, you know, Lukaku, provided he stays fit, he wins Arsenal.
Yeah, you just wonder, yet again, does it come down to the money? Do they say, is it worth 70 million winning the league? Or will we just finish third? And get this.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is a bit of that.
Amazing how Leicester haven't been stripped.
Yeah. They've done really well to nail all of those players.
Well, only Kante, isn't it? That was the only one that went.
Kante went and they held on to everybody else.
For what they do and what they did last year, he was an integral part, but you could still see them now, Leicester, doing a bit of damage to bigger teams and finishing.
But I bet they've all got release clauses. Right, Mahrez and Vardy in particular. I bet.
I could see them all sticking. I could see them having been given good deals. Stick around with us for one season in the Champions League, and you can almost.
I'll say that what they've done with them is kind of the speculate to accumulate. Sort of, we're in the Champions League. All the money that we're getting out of the Champions League is going on you.
Yeah.
If it doesn't happen for them, Leicester are over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know.
Plus, you know what? If they get bumped out of the Champions League in fucking November. They can sell them in January.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If somebody really, if Mahrez really wants to go in January or whatever, then they can do that.
But I hope Andy's right and we have a surprise coming into Liverpool. That'd be quite nice.
Mm. So do I. Okay, boys, let's wrap it there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, as always, we'll finish things up by thanking our main sponsors and landlords, Astor Park Tala, for the use of the facility. It's the premium venue in Dublin for all your five-a-side needs, so get on down and get your games played here. Next week, we'll be joined by the author, Simon Hughes, to discuss his recently released book, Ring of Fire. I'm reading it at the moment, and it's an absolutely cracking read for an insight into the minds of some of the most influential members of the playing and coaching staff of LFC in the last 15 to 20 years. I'm really looking forward to chatting to Simon about that because he's had interviews with some great people in that time. If you get the chance in the meantime, I'd absolutely suggest you get out there and grab a copy of the book. Your trippers this week were Andy Young, Dave Thomas, and my good self, Steve O'Daly. Thanks for listening, and as always, spread the good word on our behalf. We always appreciate it. Catch you all next week. You're a lovely bunch of eggs. Good luck.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns.